And welcome back to Monday Breakfast on 3CR 855 AM, digital radio and live streaming on 3cr.org.au. It's just about 8 o'clock and I'm here in the studio with Matt Kunkel, Jacob Andrewalther, and did I say it right?
Yep.
And Jess Bigby and our panellist Beth Matthews. Thank you so much. I'll be speaking with Pierre Morrow, who is an activist, of course, and he's also a member of the Australian Asia Workers Links, which is AAWL, and he's also a presenter of 3CR program Asia Pacific Currents, which airs, I forgot when it airs, but anyway, oh, it does.
Saturday
it airs
mornings.
On Saturday mornings from 9 to 9.30. Welcome to Monday Breakfast, Pierre. How are you?
Good morning, Michael. It's terrible when you've got a stream of thought you're going to say and you just forget the little details.
I forget all the details all the time. So the AAWL was established in 1979 and obviously has a very long history in promoting international solidarity. Two questions, or a two-part question. How long have you been a member and can you speak about the advocacy work of the AAWL?
Yep, sure. I've been involved since probably around 1990. Again, the details are a bit lost in the fogs of, history. And in terms of the advocacy that we do, so we, as you said, we do we link up workers and labour organisations within the Asia region. And of course, the work has changed and developed over, well, since 79, however long that is, around 40 years of work. We also do a lot of advocacy around labour activists who are in prison or otherwise repressed because of their labour organising. And we help to coordinate and to develop and to publicise international campaigns of workers in the region. So that's our focus as an organisation.
I did want to ask you about the international work that the AAWL does. On your website, there's a page dedicated to campaigns with a link called Free Our Comrades. Can you tell us a little bit about those campaigns and in particular what's been going on in that regard?
Yeah, look, sure. That's part of our international work, and what we want to do is to show that workers all around the world face the same issues in terms of wages and conditions and the ability to organise, or in this case, in this part of our work, in the repression that labour activists feel and are subjected to. All around the world, workers are repressed by companies or the governments, and you know it varies country by country. You know what we are seeing now is sometimes the real full on repression of like killing trade unionists has possibly slowed down a bit, but what has certainly increased all around the world is the legal repression of labour activists. In other words, the laws have been made so much tougher for workers to organise, and so therefore there's a lot of labour activists in jail, and so we campaign with other organisations for their release. And, you know, and some of the people that we've got there on our website is people like in Somyot, who's in Thailand, who's a journalist and a labour activist, who's serving a 7-year sentence for publishing an article of someone else wrote it, that was supposedly critical of the government in Thailand. And people like Han Sung-kyun, who is the secretary of the Korean Confederation of Trade Unions, who's currently in jail serving a 3-year sentence for the crime of having organised a demonstration.
That's pretty incredible work, because when I was looking at the website, I could see that towards the end it speaks about the people who have been released or have been released to freedom, and it's amazing the amount of people that are on that page. And like you said, like workers mainly are in some countries are discouraged from demanding their rights through the representation of activism and trade unionism. And as a result, they end up in jail for their organising activities. So the work that the AAWL does in this respect is amazing. And it was so wonderful to see that page up and see the advocacy work that's going on there. It's incredible, Pierre.
Well, thank you for that. And of course, that's just a few. In many ways, our work is very incomplete because there's many more labour activists that if we had the resources we could focus on. And that doesn't even talk about the ones that get beaten up, that get fired, that get raped, harassed, etc., etc. But we can certainly talk more in the next few months about all this, because we will be organising with other organisation a global day of against trade union repression on the 16th of November. But that's a while back, and of course today is another major international Labour Day.
Yes, it totally is. And I suppose that's what I wanted to ask you, Pierre, for you. And I do want to get you on breakfast for May 16. But for you, what's the significance of May Day or International Workers' Day? What does it mean to you?
Look, May Day is, again, one of those days that it really serves to focus the energy and the activity of the labour class around the world. Again, to say we as a class all want the same things, living wage, safe workplaces. We want to live safe from death, injury, and repression. And again, this is celebrated all around the world. There are going to be events, actions, demonstrations. I think in most countries where there isn't a dictatorship or massive repression, there will be actions, and they will all, and you know, any worker from any country could go to any other May Day activity in other countries and feel totally at home, because all the issues will be the same. And so it's a day for us to remember what our forebearers, our sisters and brothers that worked very hard to give our conditions that we have now, so to celebrate what we have achieved in the past, but also to say that there's lots of work still to be done. And unfortunately, in many countries over the last few years, we've gone backwards. So there's a lot of work to do.
There definitely is. Pierre, thank you so much for joining us on Monday Breakfast for our May Day special programming. Have an awesome day, and thank you for joining us so early in the morning.
All right, no worries. And if I can just put a quick plug, I hope that if people are free, they can join us at 5:30 later today at the State Library for a May Day event and a reading out of international May Day messages.
That's right. So there'll be a reading of international statements and a rally today at 5:30, commencing at the State Library, as well as an annual congregation of workers at the 8-hour monument at 12 p.m. as well. So, Pierre, thank you so much, and I look forward to speaking to you further about your activism and advocacy work.
All right, no worries. Thank you very much for having me. Bye-bye.
Bye, Pierre. And that was Pierre Morrow, a member of the AAWL and also a presenter of the 3CR program Asia Pacific Currents, which airs every Saturday 9 to 9:30. You can listen on demand at 3cr.org.au/AsiaPac. That's spelled A-S-I-A-P-A-C. You're listening to Monday Breakfast on 3CR Community Radio, and we'll be back with you real shortly.
The real way to commemorate these things is not just on the anniversary, but in the activities that you do every day of the year. What's important is certainly we should have a sense of history and of commemoration and of a degree of ritual. But the important thing is to keep them alive by reenacting them every day in all of our struggles.
Welcome back to 3CR's special programming for May Day. The time is 8:07. You're in the studio of Monday Breakfast with Jess, Jacob and Matt, and Beth's on the panel. She's doing a great job keeping us to time, so thank you, Beth. Coming up shortly is ACTU Secretary Sally McManus. We're just trying to get her on the phone. But as we heard at the back end there of Pierre's interview, there is a rally this afternoon at 5:30 at the State Library, so get along to that if you can. But also don't forget, there's also the May Day celebrations coming up this Sunday, the 7th of May, out the front of Victorian Trades Hall Council, corner of Lygon and Victoria Streets in Carlton. So get along there, family activities, speeches, and a march from 10 o'clock on Sunday. So make sure to be there. All right. So I think we've got Sally, ACTU Secretary Sally McManus on the line. Are you there, Sally?
Yeah, I'm here. Happy May Day.
Oh, happy May Day to you, Sally. So can I just start by asking you, Sally, do you believe in the rule of law? No, I'm only kidding. We'll save that one for later. May Day is a time for us to celebrate the victories of the union movement. Are there any instances in the last 12 months that stand out for you?
Yeah, the CUB dispute and victory, which was run actually across the whole country. As your listeners would know, Carlton United sacked their workers and told them they could come back on 65% less pay and using labour hire. And that's a pretty common circumstance that a lot of Australians now face, where employers are using labour hire to drive down wages and to make jobs less secure. And so they decided to fight it, and they did fight it, and they were out on the street for many, many, many months. And what happened was the whole of the trade union movement and retired trade unionists and young people who aren't yet in the workforce all got behind them and decided to boycott CUB products. So, you know, beer usually. And so all across the country, people got behind that. And it's a really good example of solidarity, but practical solidarity, where people made a decision to withdraw drinking the products of that company until they did the right thing by their workers, and those workers won.
Today is also a good day to reflect on those challenges that we still have to overcome. And this year we've seen bosses really step up their militancy. Lockouts have become more frequent and more common. There's been a very disturbing increase in the tactic of seeking to terminate enterprise agreements, which would put workers back on the minimum standards in their awards. What do you think is behind this growing militancy from employers?
Growing power of employers. You know, since the GFC, we've seen most of the wealth go to the top, and that's been those global multinational corporations and the very rich. And so when you have that much power and that much wealth compared to the ordinary person, well, you start thinking the laws don't apply to you. And we see that with tax, all the tax dodging that the wealthiest Australians engage in. 48 of our millionaires paid not one cent of tax, not even the Medicare levy. They paid $1 million each to lawyers and to accountants just to get out of that tax, and that's also tax deductible. So that's pretty appalling. And then you've got 679 companies in Australia who didn't pay any tax either. And of course, that's our money. That's money that should be going to schools and hospitals. And they're doing sort of the same thing at work. So as they've sort of bent or broken or just ignored the tax laws, they're doing the same to workers' rights. So this, you know, cancelling of agreements is because they've employed the, you know, the biggest and the best law firms to work out all the loopholes in the law, and they're exploiting them. And we can see issues like wage theft. If this isn't your corner store, this is a business model for really big organisations like Domino's Pizzas or 7-Eleven. So that's where they're just thinking, well, they can get away with, you know, just not paying people what our minimum wage is. And that's because they have got too much power now, and working people don't have enough. And if you think of it that way, it's actually quite simple what needs to happen to fix that. Working people need stronger and better rights at work in order to give them more power, so that we don't have companies just avoiding our laws.
On that, about, you know, the laws, there's been a lot of criticisms about the current workplace relations legislation, the Fair Work Act, since its inception, or even in some cases beforehand. Increasingly, workers are being forced to act outside the law to defend their rights. Is the Fair Work Act broken?
Oh, I think it is broken. I think it is broken, and that's the reason why the trade union movement will be focused on rebuilding it. I think the people that built it didn't do so in order to... I don't think they would have foreseen a lot of these problems that have come about. And remember, we had work choices, and work choices was going to abolish all awards, and we would have ended up with 5 minimum conditions and most people on individual contracts. So, you know, getting the Fair Work Act with its faults at the time was, you know, a big victory. It was a rolling back of you know, a fairly, you know, dire situation we were facing. But now we've seen the Fair Work in action for, what, a decade now, it's pretty clear that it's just not strong enough. And if it was strong enough 10 years ago, it's not strong enough now. So it's a clear priority for the union movement to make sure we fix that so that we can swing the pendulum back and make things fairer again.
One of the most perverse things that we're seeing is this growing tactic of seeking to terminate an enterprise agreement, which skews the bargaining power or the balance of bargaining power between workers and business. We're seeing it at universities. We saw it up at Horizon at the rail yards in Queensland, and now we're seeing it at places like Fletcher Insulation. What can be done about that?
This is a really good example of, I guess, a loophole. So certainly know that the people who built the Fair Work Act, no way would they have thought that it would be possible or right for the Fair Work Commission to cancel agreements that would lead to a drop in pay. The reason why that part of the Act is in there is for good reasons. Unions have used it to cancel old work choices agreements, to lift wages or agreements that have expired for a long period of time and the boss has just refused to negotiate. So, you know, in order to protect really the safety net, people wouldn't have imagined that they'd use it then to do this. So essentially what's happened is there's a public interest test that the Commission has to apply, and the way they've decided to apply it has led to them to be able to cancel these agreements. And so it's a shocking situation, not just for those workers who suffer the pay cut. For example, there's a little town in Western Australia where there's, you know, Collie, and there's a mine there, and it's a company town, and the bosses got away with cancelling that agreement. The workers have had 35% pay cut. Every single business, every single person in that town is affected by that. But it's also about those workers who are just negotiating their normal agreement, having in the back of their mind, and I'm sure employers will be using this, they'll be saying, unless you agree to what our demands are, we'll apply to have your agreement cancelled and you'll drop back to the award. And, you know, that's no longer an idle threat. It's a real one, and that's just a shocking example of where, you know, we've given employers too much power in a situation where they already have enough or too much, and it's skewing things very badly. So it's an urgent thing, we think, that needs to be fixed.
Mm. State and federal governments are taking steps to criminalise union organising and union activity, and particularly the CFMEU's come under some significant threat with the Royal Commission and raids by the Australian Federal Police and such. This is starting to mirror the types of repression that we see in other countries where scores of unionists languish in prison with their only crime being standing up for workers' rights. Is the Australian situation sliding towards those nations with less developed union movements?
Well, a few things about that. Most Australians don't realise that during that two-year Royal Commission, we had union leaders across our country with their phones tapped the whole time. We had the Federal Police pull people over in back lanes, in cars, you know, with their kids, and for questioning, pull them in for questioning. And all these people have been found guilty of nothing. All of the witnesses that got dragged before the Royal Commission, we had raids on union officers where they'd seize all their records, all of these things. And you'd think, well, hang on a minute, is this Australia? Like, what type of country taps the phones of their union leaders and raids their officers? Well, it's Australia. That's where it happened. People don't talk about that a lot because, you know, we're always talking about, you know, workers' rights and not so much about this, but that's the reality. With the ABCC, we shouldn't see this as just something that's applying to the construction industry as bad as it is. It's and as, you know, your listeners may or may not know, it sets up a whole, you know, police system just for that industry where they criminalise the work of union delegates and they make illegal things like restricting casuals on building sites, you know, to make sure that there's good, steady jobs for everyone, or make it illegal to have clauses in your agreements that mandate that you're going to have to employ apprentices for jobs for young Australians. This is actually the blueprint of what the Liberal Party would like for all of us. And they're doing it there in the construction industry, just like they did it in the higher education industry, actually, last time they were in power. So this is what they're doing. It's not just about those strong unions. It's about all of us. If they can get away with it there, they certainly will do their best to extend it elsewhere.
Mm. And as you said, this repression sort of shifts from area to area as, you know, the as governments change colours. But fighting for rights across the globe can help sustain those rights that we have achieved here. What can Australian unionists do, you know, thinking about the international nature of May Day, what can Australian unionists do to support the international struggle for workers' rights?
Well, there's a growing movement of unions and working people against corporate greed. This has been led by the global trade union movement, the ITUC, with Sharon Burrows, who's a Australian, used to be the president of the ACTU, an Australian, has been building and is leading. And that's like clearly articulating the same thing we're articulating here, that if we don't put limits on the greed of the very rich, they won't put limits themselves. They won't. And if we don't do that, we're going to end up with a world that it'll be totally divided, and people will point to those countries where there's massive inequality, and they'll point to all the problems. That will be us if we don't put those limits on them. So what we can do is be part of that movement. So, for example, there's you know, the worst exploitation is actually about slave labour, which still happens. There's a international trafficking of workers that occurs, and we have it even in Australia. But we certainly see it, you know, with the building of the World Cup facilities at Qatar, where they, you know, ship in workers with virtually no rights, and there's been so many workers killed on that. So there's pressure that could be put by highlighting this, but also by, you know, refusing to participate in the World Cup if necessary. If the call is for that, that's what we should do. Samsung, you know, same. They've been engaging in some pretty horrific practices in their supply chain, exploiting workers all the way through it. And so there's been a call put out from the ITUC for us all to get behind that too. So I think this type of movement is in its infancy, but as it keeps growing, because we're all facing exactly the same situations and increasingly the same companies in Australia as there is elsewhere, all of us uniting and do the type of things we did in CUB, but do it on a global scale.
Cool. Last question, Sally. It's no secret that the movement is at somewhat of an ebb tide as far as membership goes. We do find ourselves fighting against 21st century capitalism with our 19th century union structures. As our historically strong industries become under pressure or start to fade away, and as the gig economy proliferates, what strategy must the movement adopt to try and turn back this tide and regrow the union movement?
Well, there's not just one strategy. It's not going to be just one thing that needs to be done, because what's happened is also on multi-levels. So there is a change happening in the economy where we're moving away from deliberate strategies by capital, but we're moving away from manufacturing. But there are growing areas of the economy, and that's obviously in the health and caring industries, and there's a lot of new jobs being created there. We've got to remember that, you know, industries didn't get organised overnight. We didn't sort of organise the factories of, you know, Ford or Holden overnight. It took probably 50 years. So, you know, we've got to see it in that historical context and go about organising the new sectors. So that's first of all. Second of all, you know, most of the jobs that are being created, the ABS says they're part-time, but because they don't measure casual, they're actual casual jobs. And, you know, because of that, if a worker doesn't have, you know, your basic security, you're less likely to take the risk to join a union and stand up for your rights, because you're going to be left off the roster. And so that's a symptom of, you know, workers not having power. So part of what we want to do, because it's the right thing to do and every worker deserves the right to, you know, paid sick leave and job security, is to fight to change the rules so that we reverse that. So casualisation is on the edges rather than at the centre. And while we're waiting for that to happen, we need to build a movement where there's a place for everyone. So if you're a casual worker, if you're a gig economy worker, well, you know, union movement is now looking at changing our structures and changing the way, you know, people can join and be active in order to, you know, mirror what's happening in the workplace.
All right, Sally, thanks very much for joining us on Community Radio 3CR, and happy May Day to you.
Happy May Day. See you.
See ya. That was Sally McManus, ACTU Secretary, joining us here on 3CR's Monday Breakfast for May Day programming. You're tuned to 3CR. The time is 23 minutes past 8. you've got the dial set to 855 AM or you're listening to us online at 3cr.org.au. Stay tuned.
Good morning. You are listening to the special May Day Breakfast Monday program. I think I missed a place a few words there. We're getting to the end of the show, and you know, we'd like to thank, you know, all our guests that we've had on the program, from Dave Karen, Selig McManus, to Tim Gooden, to Pierre, and to say that. You know, it's important that, you know, listeners, if you're able to attend the May Day March at 5:30 today at the State Library. But then there's also the big May Day celebrations on this Sunday at, I think it's at 12 p.m. at the Trades Hall.
10 a.m.
at the Trades Hall. And that will go till 2 p.m., I'm pretty sure. We'll have a big march and, you know, food, I think, and there'll be like a big festival. I think there's also kids events there happening at
the there should be heaps of stuff to do, yeah. Just one thing, I guess, to wrap up from me, which is that if anyone out there is listening today, happy May Day to you. This is your day. It's a workers' day. But just remember that whatever you do, wherever you work and whatever you do, there is a union for you. So if you're not a member of a trade union, head along to the ACTU's website, plug in your details, plug in where you work, and join up today. Because if you want to live better, you need to live union. So happy May Day, everybody, and you know, keep up the fight. And for all those comrades out there marching across the world, solidarity to you.
And we're going to go out today with Stand As One, Adam Lincoln.
Of life and all across the land, one big union stands hand in hand. The only war we'll fight is the fight we need at home against the corporate raiders and the bosses on their thrones. Here we come, we stand as one in unity, we're standing strong. Here we come, we stand as one. Corporate powers come undone. Stand strong. Stand strong. When we unite, we can push aside the sellout politicians who say they're on our side. Another corporate failure, mass saggings have begun. The more they throw at us, the stronger we become. Here we come, we stand as one. In unity, we're standing strong. Here we come, we stand as one. Corporate powers come undone. Stand strong. Stand strong. The only war we'll fight is the fight we need at home against the corporate raiders and the bosses on their thrones. Another corporate failure, mass saggings have begun. The more they throw at us, the stronger we become. Here we come, we stand as one. In unity, we're standing strong. Here we come, we stand as one. Corporate powers come undone. Stand strong. Stand strong. Here we come, we stand as one. In unity, we're standing strong. Here we come, we stand as one. Corporate powers come undone. Stand strong. Stand strong.
The real way to commemorate these things is not just on the anniversary, but in the activities that you do every day of the year. What's important is certainly we should have a sense of history and of commemoration and of a degree of ritual. But the important thing is to keep them alive by reenacting them every day in all of our
Y'all know how to kick it out.
Because as we know, the saying is, if we don't fight, we lose. If we don't fight, we lose. Whether we're talking about union issues, whether we're talking about civil and political rights issues, if we don't stand, if we don't fight, then we lose. And that's what it's about.
3CR, kicking against the pricks since 1976. And I guess I could get crazy
now, baby. May Day Workers' Day celebration, Sunday, May the 7th. Join us to protest the anti-worker policies of the federal government and the drive to war by the US administration. March with unions, Aboriginal organisations, community and ethnic communities and others. March from Trades Hall, corner of Victoria and Lygon Street, Carlton, 1:30 p.m, followed by a speaker's platform with entertainment, afternoon tea and a concert. Sunday, May the 7th, Trades Hall, 1:30 start. The May Day Committee is a 3CR supporter.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.